Welcome to Maryland Perspectives with Amelia on 98 Rock.
Don't let the name fool you. For the last 15 years, the Red Devils have assisted Maryland families and women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer. The organization is run by two women who keep costs low so that most of the money they raise goes to breast cancer patients. I found out about them almost 10 years ago and believe in their mission of supporting breast cancer families when it is needed most. Here to talk more about it is Executive Director of the Red Devils, Jan Wilson. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Amelia. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, we are delighted to be part of your show this morning and are eager to share with you and your listeners as much information as we can, as I can, about the Red Devils and what we're here in the state of Maryland.
So let's go back to the origins of the Red Devils and why it was created in the first place.
Sure. We were founded in 2002 by the families of two young women who passed away, sadly, very young in life, from breast cancer. Their families were by those women's side day in and day out, struggling with them as they were dealing with breast cancer. And when those women passed, they couldn't just let that energy go. So they decided to form the Red Devils as a legacy to those two women and to help other breast cancer patients who were without a safety net as they went through the treatment trials and tribulations.
I think that's what I love the most about what you do. I've never really heard of organizations that go in and work through the hospitals, and then they go in and they provide needed services when you're going through chemotherapy.
We truly are unique. You're absolutely right, Amelia, in that regard. There's a lot of attention, rightfully so and appropriately so, given to research and finding a cure. But one of the things that people fail to recognize is while you're living with breast cancer, you're facing so many obstacles that can get in the way of your either entering treatment because you don't know whether or not you're going to have a ride to those appointments, or staying in treatment because the cost of saving your life can be so daunting. So our role is to remove those obstacles so that patients can go through treatment relatively worry-free and focus on the singularly most important thing, and that is getting well.
Things like cleaning your house, things like grocery shopping, helping your kids with homework, making sure the kids get to school on time, and when we're well, or even when we get a cold, it's just like, oh, I really don't want to do that. I can't imagine going through, you know, oh, I have to do this for my family, but here I am sick from chemotherapy. Give us a story of the one that just got you, Jan, that you're like, I am so glad I am here for this person.
Well, I'll tell you, I am touched by the story of a young woman that came to us a couple of years ago. Her name was Erica. Erica worked two jobs. She was young, early 30s, never been sick a day in her life, was having trouble sleeping through the night, breathing difficulties. Turns out that she had breast cancer that had metastasized to her lungs. The only thing she wanted to do was to be a good daughter and a good sister and a good coworker to her colleagues at Wegmans. We helped her out with gas cards and with paying her rent and helping her out with groceries. And she was so vibrant. You looked in her eyes, so energetic. And we lost her not 2 months after we started helping her out with her treatment support.
In the time that you guys have started, you said since 2002, how many families and how many breast cancer patients have you assisted in Maryland?
We've assisted close to 6,000 patients in our 15-year history. We've invested in excess of $5 million over the course of that time. And it's still not enough. Every year, there are 4,000 newly diagnosed cases of breast cancer here in Maryland. We're fortunate if we can serve 800 of those patients in a given year. But we'd love to be able to serve all 4,000 if they came to us and said, please help me.
And you work through local hospitals and local doctors to reach out to these patients, or let me reword this. If you're a patient and you've been diagnosed with breast cancer and you need help with grocery shopping or with gas cards or with any daily things that come up while you're going through chemotherapy, how do they get in touch with you?
We rely on our 48 network hospitals to refer the patients that they see on an ongoing basis to the 60 or some odd business partners that we have throughout the state to assist with transportation or housekeeping or meals and groceries or any of the other needs that, that a patient might have. So if you are living with breast cancer, if you've been newly diagnosed, I would urge you to reach out to your patient navigator, the social worker, your physician, for that matter, at the hospital where you're being treated. Trust me, they know about the Red Devils, and they know how to get you connected so that we can do an intake assessment.
Now, for the rest of us that want to help, and we hear this and it just touches our hearts, that was me 10 years ago. You know, we put together a big event. There, a whole group of us got together, and we started doing the motorcycle ride for you. And, you know, when people put these events together, they're always looking for a way to reach out. Maybe their mom or their sister or somebody in their family has gone through this, and either in memoriam or in support of, they want to get involved and start an event to help raise funds. Where is a great link for them to go to you and reach out to you, Jan?
Well, I'll tell you, if any of your listeners want to put their skin in the game and help us raise money to care for Maryland breast cancer families, they can certainly reach out to me. Our website is theRedDevilsMD.org, or they can give us a call at 410-323-0135. We welcome any of our community organizers to do whatever they can, whatever is within their means and their talents, to organize fundraising events.
And we have some great events coming up. I know I'm in the chili cook-off. I already signed up over at the Hard Rock Cafe. I can't wait. I can't wait for you to try my chili, Jan.
That's coming up March 4th at the Hard Yacht Cafe at 8500 Cove Road in Dundalk. We're looking forward to that. It's a great event each and every year. It's their sixth annual event on our behalf. We're delighted.
Oh, it's so good, too. And I'll be honest, I've been a judge the last couple of years. I'm like, I can make better chili than these people. It was like a challenge, and it's for a great cause. So the other cool thing that you have going on is Wine, Women, and Shoes. Tell us about that one.
Absolutely. Wine, Women, and Shoes takes place on May 7th at the Hunt Valley Inn. It is the gateway event for Mother's Day. It takes place the Sunday right before Mother's Day. It's a garden party type event for women who are into great shoes, who love exquisite wines, and don't mind tasting some of the best light bites in the area. It features a delightful fashion show, a great live auction, and wonderful silent auction to give to that special woman in your life in recognition of Mother's Day.
And one final thing, you are also doing a big raffle for a trip to St. Martin's, yes?
We're doing a big raffle to a trip to St. Martin's. We're selling tickets online at our website, but you can also buy tickets at Hard Yacht Cafe, and we're drawing for the winner on March 4th during the chili cook-off there.
Now, I'm going to put all these links up on my blog at 98online.com. And as always, Jan, you are the best. The Red Devils in Maryland do some of the best work that I think any 501c could even hope to do here in the state. And you keep it all right here, too. So thanks for your time this morning, hon.
Thank you so much, Mia. You take care.
Maryland Perspectives will continue in a moment on 98 Rock.
The Red Devils is a Maryland-based organization that works with local hospitals to provide support for women and their families while they undergo chemotherapy treatment for breast cancer. Since 2002, they've raised over $3 million and supported 5,500 breast cancer families right here in Maryland through donations. Please join the Red Devils at various events throughout the year, including the 6th Annual Chili Cook-Off at the Hard Yacht Cafe in Dundalk, March 4th. Enter your chili, be a judge, or just hang out and enjoy the food and entertainment as you help the Red Devils continue its mission. For more, head to theRedDevils.org/events. Join St. Jude Children's Research Hospital at the 8th Annual Hope in the Harbor Gala at the Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore Thursday, April 27th. This event raises funds to continue the mission of St. Jude to treat children diagnosed with cancer at no cost to their families and conduct research to find cures and save children's lives. That's the Hope in the Harbor Gala, April 27th at the American Visionary Arts Museum. For more info, visit stjude.org/hopeintheharbor.
St. Baldrick's Foundation presents Great Bald-Headed Men of History. Throughout the ages, we've honored the achievements of a proud parade of chrome-domed heroes. William Shakespeare, Mahatma Gandhi, Winston Churchill, and now, Jason.
What, me?
Yes, you, Jason.
Oh, I'm not a hero?
Oh, yes, you are. You met the St. Baldrick's Brave the Shave Challenge.
I just went to the event and shaved my head to help raise some money.
You shaved your head to help raise awareness and money for children's cancer research.
Well, I did it for the kids.
He did it for the kids.
Yeah. I did.
He went to the website at stbaldricks.org, signed up for an event, and braved the shave. And to us, that makes him a hero.
Okay. Wow, I guess I am a hero.
You bet you are. Join Jason. Be a bald-headed hero. Go to stbaldricks.org and find out how you can help fight childhood cancer by braving the shave or writing a check.
It's pretty cool, and the ladies love it.
And to all the ladies out there who have met the challenge, you are heroes times two.
Yeah.
stbaldricks.org. Sign up today and brave the shave.
Great food for an even greater cause. Join Catholic Charities this March 4th at the B&O Railroad Museum for the 26th annual A Taste of Maryland event. Enjoy delicious foods of the region with the best local chefs, live and silent auctions, raffles, and a DJ. A Taste of Maryland benefits our Daily Bread Employment Center, helping people in need with a daily hot meal, case management, and job training. For tickets, visit cc-md.org/tasteofmd. Join the Nicole Van Horn Foundation for their 17th annual event for the Johns Hopkins Pediatric Oncology Department and the Believe in Tomorrow Foundation at Martin's East on Pulaski Highway in Middle River, Friday, March 31st. Come eat, drink, and bid on auction items throughout the evening and help the foundation give back to the organizations that were there for Nicole's battle with cancer and celebrate her life. That's the Nicole Van Horn 17th annual fundraiser at Martin's East in Middle River, March 31st. Head to nvhfund.org for more info.
Welcome back to Maryland Perspectives on 98 Rock. Here again is Amelia.
The state of Maryland is always creating policies and advocating for residents to make sure they have all the opportunities that the state can give them. One organization at the forefront of helping young people get training and finding careers in trades and industry is the Jobs Opportunities Task Force. Joining me this morning to talk more about it is Executive Director Elizabeth Sachs. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
I just found out about JOTF earlier this month, and I wanted to learn more about it. It's very intriguing. Let's start with the training programs you offer and how residents can find one that is right for them.
So our primary training program is in the construction trades. It's a pre-apprenticeship, a three-month course, and we get people ready for a variety of careers, including electrician, carpentry, and plumbing. And it is a very hands-on class. There's some sit down and study the board, but there's a lot of building, and we connect you with employers when the class is finished.
So these classes are put together by the Job Opportunities Task Force, or do you kind of contract that out to local electricians and things like that?
So we actually do the training in partnership with Associated Builders and Contractors. So they provide the instructors who know the building trades, who know what it takes to be successful in the building industry. And so they are our teachers. And when the class is over, we also work with Associated Builders and Contractors to connect people with employers who are hiring.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, that's not the only services that you offer. There are also programs to help families work on their finances and build for the future. Tell us about those.
Well, as part of our Jumpstart construction training, which I just described, we also work with students on some of the financial issues they might be facing, including medical debt, access to car insurance. Those of our graduates who might need a vehicle, we connect them with the organizational vehicles for change. So we recognize what it takes to not only get trained and get a job, but what it takes to stay in a job. And in the construction industry, it's very helpful if you have a car so you can get to work. So that's part of our program as well.
And last year, the organization went to Annapolis to advocate for legislation, including the Healthy Working Families Act. How is that, and how is that going to help families here in Maryland?
So, yes, we also do research and advocacy on issues that affect working families, and we are working hard right now to pass a provision known as paid sick days. So if you work, but you or your family member gets sick, we think that to a limited extent, your employer should pay for that day off. And it can be really beneficial both to individuals and the family members that they need to care for. So we're hoping this is the day that the Healthy Working Families Act passes.
Wow, because I guess I take that for granted. You know, I've always had a career where I come to work and you've, you know, part of our benefits package. So in the construction field, they don't offer these kinds of things.
Well, some do, some don't. This would affect people beyond just construction. There are 750,000 Maryland workers who do not have that benefit, and we think that everybody deserves it. And in fact, we think those who may not be able to work a full-time job should also get the benefit of paid sick days when they need it. This is when your child is sick and can't go to school, or you may be caring for an aging parent. So we think, as you said, a lot of us who've had it take it for granted, but for those who don't, it's a real struggle to keep a job, keep your wages, and then take that random day off when you need to care for yourself or for a loved one.
Now, I know getting high-profile people to really champion your cause helps out tremendously, and we're hearing from Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs and other television shows rolling up his sleeves and advocating for JOTF. How did that come about?
Well, last year, we were doing a big benefit in conjunction, again, with our partners at Associated Builders and Contractors. We knew that Mike Rowe was a Baltimorean and that he was, you know, looking to help the city after the unrest in 2015. So we just reached out. It was like a cold call initially. And he really understood what we were trying to do, connect people with opportunity, particularly in construction. And he's been a huge champion. We are so grateful, and we look forward to, I think he'll be back this year.
Yeah, he seems like he's in it for the long haul. He strikes mm-hmm. me as just a Maryland boy who hasn't forgotten where he came from, which is always great. Now, Elizabeth, finally, if someone wants to get involved, either by applying for these training courses or offering apprenticeships, or maybe their construction business would like to get involved, how can they mm-hmm. reach out to JOTF?
The best way to do it is just go to www.jotf.org, and in particular, look for the button that says Project Jumpstart. That is our construction training program, and we'll link you to the website where our list of employers and the specifics on registering for the training program can be found.
Thank you so much for your time today, Elizabeth, and good luck with Project Jumpstart and all of the advocacy that you're doing for Maryland residents. It's really great work.
Thank you so much.
Maryland Perspectives will continue in a moment on Nutty and Rock. Welcome back to Maryland Perspectives on Nutty and Rock. Here again is Amelia.
In 2013, journalist Ann Kramer from WBAL 1090 AM did a five-part series on sex trafficking in the state of Maryland. 5 years later, it's still a problem, but there are more programs in place to combat the brutal practice and to help victims in the state. MDHumanTrafficking.org and Turnaround Inc. are just a few of the organizations that are trying to abolish sex trafficking. Go to my blog at 98online.com under Amelia to get links to these and other organizations. For the next 5 weeks, Maryland Perspectives will replay the series that highlights victims' stories, and we'll talk to these organizations to find out how you can get involved to help save lives. Here's part one on 98 Rock's Maryland Perspectives.
I was getting raped every day. I was getting beat. One time I tried to get away, and they never would hit me in my face, but they would take the gun and hit me in the back of my head.
The kidnapping and abuse at the hands of sex traffickers eventually led Tracy to leave prostitution. We have given her an alias and altered her voice to protect the now 25-year-old. She got started in prostitution, or the game as it's called, as a teenager after running away from group homes and trying to find love, she says, from male figures.
Not having nobody, not having a mother, a father, no money, nowhere to go.
Enter a pimp who she says filled the emotional and material void.
Being with him, I felt safe. I felt I had money. I felt like the queen.
But that ended, and the sexual and emotional abuse at the hands of the pimp started. Tracy tried to leave the game, she says, but quickly learned she had no choice but to prostitute. At 17, her mom kicked her out of her home, and she started working the Baltimore track. The track is the street where prostitutes walk to make their money. And it was here on the streets of Baltimore City where the cycle for Tracy started all over again.
I was, like, sleeping on sidewalks and sleeping house to house and not having nowhere to go, not having nowhere to sleep. Wasn't eating for days. I just looked like I just came out of a dumpster. And a guy pulled up and said that he wanted to take care of me.
Tracy says she got into his car, realized he was a pimp, but it was too late. She says he sold her for sex from New York to Miami until she was able to escape 2 months later. Here at the bus station is where Tracy met another prostitute who told her she had met some men online who could help them in New York City. The teenager at the time thought she would go home, but at that point realized there was no home.
And come to find out, it was two cops that were talking to her online, and they were posing as pimps. But the cops were really dirty.
She says the cops took them to a building where there were girls as young as six. Tracy was held captive in that building for 9 months by a man and woman who were later convicted of prostitution charges. Through tears, Tracy remembers the rapes and beatings.
They wouldn't give us condoms. They would just go with us to have sex with these men and give them the money.
After gaining the trust of the pimps, Tracy was able to grab a cell phone when the two left the building.
911, fire ambulance or police.
And kept hanging up on them because I didn't know if it was going to be them coming to get me, the police that sent me there. And finally, the seventh time, because they told me I was going to leave till I was 35, I just gave up and talked to the police.
The cops finally believed Tracy and her story, but it was a struggle, she says, to stay out of the game. 6 months after she was kidnapped and then rescued, Tracy says she learned some bad news.
I found out that I was HIV positive. And then I felt as though my life was over. So I did get back in the game.
Ann Kramer, WBAL and WBAL.com.
You've been listening to Maryland Perspectives, a community information resource. If your organization would like to be on Maryland Perspectives, please contact Amelia at 410-338-6458 or email ameliawyy@hearst.com. You can find the links to her guests on her blog at 98online.com. The opinions expressed on this program are those of its participants and not necessarily those of 98 Rock, its management, or advertisers.